not yet been determined. 10 minutes after 8, just ahead of the morning show now with Greg Berg, let's check WGTD Sports and Weather. Major League Baseball, Brewers and Cubs were off. Cubs lead over the Brewers now 3 games in the NL Central. White Sox lost to Detroit 9-5. Brewers and Cubs open a key 2-game series this afternoon down at Wrigley Field. The White Sox play in Detroit tonight. Northwoods League Baseball, the Kenosha Kingfish season is over. They lost to the Kalamazoo Growlers 5-3 in a playoff game last night at Simmons Field. Now the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service for this Tuesday, 14th of August. Sunny and hot today, a high of 89. Tonight partly cloudy, mild, some patchy fog late. Overnight low 68. Tomorrow Wednesday, cloudy and seasonal. 60% chance of rain moving in. Tomorrow's high, 80. Right now, humidity high, 90%. Wind from the west at 4. 71 degrees Kenosha, 70 in Racine. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:11, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. And we welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I'm really excited to be able to have some neighbors over today. That is neighbors to WGTD. Very, very close, right around the block from the Kenosha campus of Gateway Technical College is the beautiful campus of the Brookside Care Center, which is operated under the auspices of Kenosha County and offers first-rate care to senior citizens. And they have had a lot of exciting expansion over the last few months and the last couple of years. It seems like for quite a long time now, there's been expansion going on at Brookside, and also the construction and opening of a brand new facility as well, Willowbrook, on the campus of Brookside, which offers assisted living. And so we have three very busy staff members from Brookside and Willowbrook making time in their busy schedules to join us on the morning show to tell us what is new at Brookside and to kind of talk in general about the whole business of long-term care and all that goes on behind the scenes to make a place like Brookside function as well as it does. We're happy to have with us Francis Petrick, who is Executive Director of Brookside and also the President of Leading Age Wisconsin, which is an important organization affiliated with a nationwide organization that deals with all kinds of issues related to the elderly and care for them. We have with us Linda Bagdala, who is the administrator of Brookside, and we have Tara Peskowitz, who is the manager of Willowbrook, the aforementioned assisted living facility that has just opened on the campus of Brookside. We welcome all three of you to the morning show.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
Really glad to have you here. Francis Petrick, the boss, we're going to begin with you, the executive director of Brookside. I'd love to know a little bit about how you first became interested in being part of this field of long-term care for the elderly. Where did it begin for you?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question because it's a really good story. I live in Racine, and I went to grade school at St. Rita's Church, or grade school, and we had a service club, and in seventh grade, they took us to High Ridge, which was the Racine County Nursing Home, and we volunteered there on Saturdays and got to meet some of the residents, and now we're talking, this is 1968, 1967, so it was quite a while ago. And I just loved that experience. I couldn't wait to go back on Saturday because, you know, I made friends with some of the residents and enjoyed visiting and talking with them. You learn so much from that population. So after I graduated from high school, I ended up going to Gateway, and I became an RN. And my first job was at St. Mary's Hospital in Racine, and probably not the smartest thing a candidate for hire should do, but the director of nursing was interviewing me and said, "Where do you see yourself in 3 years?" And I thought about it, and I just blurted out, "Well, I hope I'm working in a nursing home by then."
Wow.
Yeah. And by 1980, I did accept a position with Racine County, where I worked for Ridgewood Care Center and High Ridge, you know, prior to that, for 24 years before Jim Cruiser gave me a call and lured me into the Kenosha County community, which is something that I'll never regret. Mm. It's been wonderful.
And Jim Cruiser, for the sake of any listeners who don't know, is the Kenosha County executive.
Right.
And, of course, he's obviously has a very keen interest in Brookside and its well-being. Very good. Linda Bagdala, administrator of Brookside, how about you?
Well, I actually did not expect to be in long-term care. My degree is not in healthcare, criminal justice, actually.
Ah.
But love brought me this way. So after I graduated college, I had met my now husband in college and was expecting to go a different route, but moved up in this area and got my first job as a social worker in long-term care. And I never left because I truly did love it. So I was fortunate to work at a facility for 15 years in Illinois and started with social work for the first 8 and then worked my way up into administration and then decided that I would love to work in the state to which I currently reside, which is Wisconsin. So I had the opportunity to spread my wings, and I worked in Milwaukee for 3 years, knowing that my ambitions were as always Brookside. I would drive past Brookside often and point out and say that's my future employer. To say that I am currently the administrator for Brookside is crazy. I'm very lucky, very, very lucky to be there. So it's where everybody wants to be, and I'm now there and love it.
Huh. So you would just drive past, and I suppose partly from its reputation, but also from just how beautiful the grounds are.
Absolutely. The reputation is exactly what it is. It is a amazing facility with great people, and the reputation is true. That really is the case.
Very good. Finally, Tara Paskowitz, who is the manager of Willowbrook, which is the new assisted living facility there at Brookside, and we'll be talking about that a little later. What brought you into this field?
Well, I have a good mixture of both of their stories. I'm born and raised Kenosha, went to school here, with the exception of the 4 years of college where I went to Madison. I got a degree in poli-sci, so I do not have a healthcare degree either. But like Fran, I had some experience growing up that made me want to go back into the community, into long-term care. I went to high school at Bradford, the local high school here, and was part of the Key Club Service Club, and we volunteered at Brookside, actually.
Right next door.
Right next door, volunteered right at Brookside. So when I came back from college and moved back home to Kenosha, I saw a job opening there at Brookside for a part-time activity aide, and I jumped on the opportunity to get involved in such a great, like Linda said, a great reputation, a great community, great business organization to work for. So jumped in that and have been there since. For the last 7 years, I should say, I've been at Brookside. And then now recently, I'm working at Willowbrook.
Wow. Very good. All three of those stories are absolutely terrific. And that's nice to hear that all of you are so happy doing what you're doing in a field that can be demanding and stressful and full of some frustrations once in a while. But nevertheless, you are all in it for the right reason, which is great. Let's talk overarchingly for a moment before we dig into the specifics at Brookside. And Francis, we'll begin with you, but anybody is free to chime in. You've been part of this field for a long time, and in your work with this group called Leading Age Wisconsin, you obviously get kind of a overview of just this whole field in general of long-term care and caring for the elderly. And it's, of course, the elderly population is really growing by leaps and bounds, and a lot of states and communities are kind of grappling with the challenge of how to do this and how to do it in a way that we can all afford. What do you see from your vantage point as the president of this statewide organization in terms of what is going on in this field in general, and maybe especially in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, Greg, I am the chair of the board of Leading Age Wisconsin, and I've been on the board of directors. This is my second two-year term, so I've been associated with this group for quite a while. Leading Age Wisconsin is a trade organization, if you will, and it represents the not-for-profit sector of long-term care services. And long-term care services is not just a nursing home. Long-term care, you can be receiving long-term care services in your home. You might have a personal aide or a personal care worker come to your home to maybe help you fix breakfast or lunch or help you with a shower. And it ranges all the way up to basically the highest level of long-term care services, which is skilled care, you know, which is what Brookside is, and post-acute, where people are coming out of the hospital and needing, you know, some specialized rehab. So it represents quite an array of providers of long-term care services.
And that group is specifically involved with the nonprofit sector.
Correct.
And what would you say is that their portion of sort of all of the long-term care that's being dispensed? I mean, is most of it being provided by nonprofit entities, or is it more like half and half?
I don't know the exact number, but I believe we have, just let's take Kenosha. We have our government, a not-for-profit, you know, provider, which is Kenosha County, and St. Joseph's, I think. Those are the two not-for-profit providers. All the rest are for-profit. So that's probably six or seven.
Okay.
And in Racine County, there's the Ascension Group that's not-for-profit, but the other two nursing homes are for-profit.
For-profit. So. Now, Linda, I understand that you've worked in both sectors, the for-profit and the nonprofit sectors of long-term care. What would you say are kind of the biggest differences? I mean, is one absolutely better than the other? Or, I mean, are there distinctions that are important for us to know about?
Well, I think the difference, too, particularly with Kenosha County and Brookside, is that you've got your taxpayers. Those are the shareholders that you have versus the private sector, which is a CEO. And you always want to be fiscally responsible on either side, but it's a little bit different when you're dealing with taxpayer dollars. And you want to make sure that you are spending those dollars appropriately to ensure that you are giving the best care available. And so the difference is there. To say that one is better than the other, I don't know if I necessarily want to say that, but it's making sure that you maximize those dollars for the best care, which is exactly what Brookside does do.
Right. So, for instance, when somebody reaches a certain age or experiences circumstances in their life where they need to be living at a place like Brookside, what would determine whether or not they live at Brookside or live at one of these for-profit places instead? I mean, is there anything that, some criteria which makes you eligible to be at Brookside, or is that a place anybody with those needs could live? I mean, how would one make those kind of choices?
It's purely based on resident choice. So if a resident would like to come to Brookside and we can meet their needs and we have the available space, we can do that. But they can, if they are in a hospital and needing skilled care services, usually in the hospital is where they will make the determination where they would like to go. So there's no specific formula as to whether you can come to Brookside or not. It is purely based on resident choice.
Right. In general, is one more expensive for the person than the other? Or is it impossible to make those kind of generalizations?
Well, it's based on their financing, and there's a multitude of different ways that you can finance skilled care, one of them being self-pay, which would come straight out of the person's pocket, and that's based on a daily rate. And that can vary throughout different facilities. It's based on what kind of needs that they have and the cares of the facility. Also, you can have a long-term care insurance if that is something that the resident may have. We can accommodate that. Commercial insurance such as Humana or Blue Cross Blue Shield, any of those. You have Medicaid, which is also, it's the state funding, your T-19. You could have Medicare, which is the federal program, usually mostly 65 and over, but there are certain cases that that is not always the case, that you might be younger. So there's a multitude of different financing, and some facilities will have contracts with particular insurance companies. Others may not. So when making that determination as to where you'll be going is also based on the financing that you would have.
So who pays the bills for Brookside to function? I mean, I assume that the money that comes to you from your from the people who live there, whether it's out of their pocket or from their insurance carriers or whatever, is not the full story. What portion of your funding comes from the people who live there versus, for instance, Kenosha County? And are there other funding sources as well?
Our goal is to be self-sufficient and not dependent on Kenosha County funding.
Oh.
At this point in our transition of moving in all of our construction, and we pay our own mortgage. So, right, we are planned for last year, this year, and I think that's it, to have a little bit of help through a internal service fund. But after that, we are hoping and we're planning to be self-sufficient. So most all of our money comes from the government. Medicare is our primary source of income, and Medicaid is secondary. Private pay is kind of the last source of income, and we are helped out a little bit by the federal government because we are a county organization, and statewide, if county organizations happen to lose money in providing care for Medicaid people, that they can claim money because of that loss that can come back to the counties, and it's called supplemental payment. So we do get a little bit of money from them, from the federal government.
Right. Is there some advantage to you being as self-sufficient as possible, and is that a choice that you have made, or have you made that choice kind of in concert with the county? I mean, is this something that, in a sense, the county is really needing you and wanting you to do?
It is a choice that was made because the county, the elected officials, and possibly the citizens would prefer that we are self-sufficient. So that was the business model we created. It's basically just handling census. And balancing, looking in your crystal ball about this time every year, we start our budget and going, boy, how many patients do you think we're going to have overall? How many will be Medicare? How many will be Medicaid? We lose money on every Medicaid patient. That is our worst funder. And Wisconsin has the distinction of being the worst reimburser for the nation.
Really?
Yep, we're the worst as far as Medicaid reimbursement goes. we, part of Leading Age Wisconsin and our trade association, is doing that lobbying with the government officials saying, hey, do we really want to be last? I mean, we sure wish we could provide our citizens with, you know, the best funding for their long-term needs, but...
So that's a formula you would like to see altered, so that reimbursement is a little more in line with what your actual costs are.
Right.
For those of you just joining us, we're speaking with Francis Petrick, Linda Bagdala, and Tara Paskowitz about the Brookside Care Facility Care Center, which is located on Washington between 30th and 39th Avenue. And as you're traveling west, that's usually the direction I'm going. You see those beautiful grounds to the right there. So they are right around the corner from the Kenosha campus of Gateway Technical College. And when was Brookside created? How long has it been there?
Exactly.
Or roughly.
It's over 100 years, maybe 102 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And there at on Washington? I mean, on those same grounds?
Yep.
I had no idea it was that it was that old. So how many people can Brookside accommodate? I mean, how many rooms are there? And then and we can also talk about the numbers of Willowbrook, which we'll explore a little more specifically later.
Brookside has 154 rooms, all private rooms. So we are one of the few, maybe if only, facility that will provide private rooms. Some of them you might have single bathrooms. Some of them you might share a bathroom with one of your other roommates. But it's fortunate. It's definitely a huge incentive for residents who need our care that they would have their own private space.
I can well imagine that for a whole lot of people that has to be something that's a great source of stress to find themselves in a roommate situation for the first time probably in decades, maybe the first time in their lives. And so, okay, I can see how that would be very attractive for most people. And most of the time, are every one of those rooms filled? I mean, in general, what is the status of the rooms at Brookside?
In healthcare, it's not abnormal. It's very cyclical. You'll have a very high census, and then it will kind of drop off. But we are... very high. We have always been able to maintain a very high census. There have been times, unfortunately, that we have had to turn some potential residents away because we are at maximum capacity. So the majority of the time, that is the case.
That you are full.
We are full.
And somebody who needs a place to go has to look elsewhere, even if Brookside was their first choice.
We have to track our occupancy, and Brookside's occupancy over the years is like 98-99%. Kenosha County Nursing Homes is 66%, and that takes into account Brookside's occupancy. So when they average it all out, they're including the fact that we're 98-99% occupied. We have a big turnover because we do have a lot of Medicare patients or post-acute Medicare, you know, subacute Medicare patients who come in for 3 days, 5 days, 12 days, whatever it takes, and they're discharged. So some days we have 7 discharges and 11 admissions. Some days we have 4 discharges and 3 admissions. It all, the admission and discharge operation is extremely busy because it's constantly changing rooms, cleaning them up, you know.
Wow. I should think that also kind of changes the nature of Brookside in that there are probably other facilities that have a little less of that, and so in a sense we're talking about a patient population that's a little more stable. What difference do you think it kind of makes for the experience of those who live there that there is so much turnover? And is that a positive or a negative or kind of a mix?
Well, since we finished our building project, we were very thoughtful about where people were placed. So part of our expansion included a 48-bed rehab center, the post-acute, and that is separate from the long-term area. We have four wings where people are long-term, and that's their home. That's their forever home. We have a two-wing neighborhood that is memory care. And again, that is most likely their home. And then the 48-bed rehab. So we don't have a lot of turnover in the memory care and long-term care, although when we're full in the Medicare section, and if we do have an empty bed or two in the other sections, a lot of time the consumer will choose, I don't care. I'll go in that section because I want to come to Brookside.
I want to be here.
Right.
So those sectors of Brookside, which are people who are really living there, so those populations are very steady. So it's not like you have a new neighbor every 4 days. I mean, so it starts to become a real community then.
Right.
So how many people work at Brookside? What kind of staff are we talking about in terms of the sheer number? I'm seeing sort of smiles from all of you. And I have a feeling it's a big number or a tricky number or hard to say or something. But
well, the kind of people that work at Brookside are the cream of the crop, because we only take the best. We have probably 200, and if we count Willowbrook, 220, 200 and some 225 employees.
And I suppose that you are looking for people who have the same sincere passion and concern about this that you do. How do you determine that? What happens in the hiring process? What kind of questions are you asking to try to determine where people are coming from?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily the questions we ask so much as, you know, we're great partners with Gateway. We do so many clinical classes for the nurse aide, the CNA classes, certified medication assistants, nurses, and we always talk about that we should just build a little tunnel or go through that woods so that, you know, the students just can cross back and forth. Right. And maybe Linda, that's something she's going to have in her budget pretty soon. So one of our high advantages or great advantages is that when we have the interviews, well, how did you learn about us? Why are you choosing Brookside or Willowbrook? And so often they say, I was a student here. And so that was great exposure. And we can go around and say, hey, do you remember this gal? She was a student. And the staff, oh, yeah, she'd be a great hire. You know, a lot of it is because people recognize what kind of job they did as students. But other than that, I mean, you do have some questions that you really kind of get down to the
We do, and a lot of it, you can feel a person out just from the answers that they give to the questions, that feel and that caring factor. Being in healthcare, you have to have that heart and you have to want to do it. It's not always an easy job, so you have to really enjoy working with that population. And during that process, you can tell if it's a good fit or not.
Right, right. So what are the things that are especially important to you in terms of what you provide to the people who live at Brookside? And I'm especially thinking of the people who are living there for a longer period of life, where they are really making it their home. What are the things that you offer to try to make it as positive an experience as possible?
Definitely a sense of community. They are our family, and we want them to know that that is the case, that it is a family member caring for them. In our long-term care areas, we actually have neighborhoods, and we consider them, we call them neighborhoods. They will dine together, and they do activities together. So they have that opportunity to socialize with each resident, but also very involved with the staff members as well. So very many times the family members are there as well for activities, outings. We encourage that. We want them to have their family members there if that's the case. We have birthday parties that we can offer in our Southport room, or we have a private dining area that they can have family members come in, and we will actually cater a meal for them. It's something that we want them to know that if this is going to be their home, we want it to be a home-like environment for them.
How much choice, and I suspect this varies a lot between, for instance, the population we were just talking about versus the folks who are in your memory care unit. We'll get to that in a little bit. But what kind of choices are you able to allow people to have? Because I think that's something that a lot of people really dread when they think about this possibility in their future, is that that's the worst part maybe about not being in their own home anymore, is that it's no longer up to them when they go to bed or what they have for supper or you know, if I'm going to do this or do that. I mean, I hate to use this word because it has a real negative connotation, but how much of life at Brookside needs to be programmed? Because, I mean, it's a place that still has to function, of course. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, I should think sometimes you maybe have to make choices for the people who live there. How is that matter handled?
We base it all on personalized care. Whatever time they want to go to bed, they go to bed.
Really?
We will assist them with that. They have choices during their meals. We have a variety of choices. We even have a bistro that they could come and, you know, eat from. So truly, it is individualized care. What they want, we will do everything we can to accommodate their needs. We're even regulated by this government to ensure that there are individualized choices for these residents. So,
really?
Yeah, it really is whatever they want. We do what we can to accommodate.
Wow. That just sounds so different from what I think many of us think of. And I think it sounds very different from what many of us have sort of seen with our own eyes. It sounds like maybe are we talking about a very different model for care than existed, say, 40 years ago?
Very different.
Absolutely.
Very,
absolutely.
Very different. Nursing home does have a negative connotation, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, I think it's going to take decades before people realize that that isn't what it used to be 40 years ago.
Right.
It is a completely different approach, and we want everybody to know that when you come to Brookside, we will do what we can to ensure that it is a home-like environment. We even want you to decorate your room as though it would be your home, and bring in your own pictures and your own furniture if you want, and make it feel like your own place.
Wow. How many nurses are on duty at a place like Brookside, and what kind of nurses?
Well, we use LPNs and RNs, which I would say we probably have a greater RN staff. Hmm. And in any given day, I'm just counting in my head, maybe 12 to 14 nurses on day shift.
Wow.
Maybe 8 to 10 on second shift and 4 maybe on night shift. I'm thinking.
But a pretty potent presence from the sounds of it.
Right. You know, we are evaluated every quarter by the government. And I don't know if you heard about the 5-star rating.
No.
Okay. If you ever Google under CMS, which is Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, all nursing homes, even insurance companies now are rated with stars. 5 is the most you can get. And Brookside is a 5-star nursing home. We've been for quite a while. And that part of it is the quality of care, which is measured by your survey, quality of care, which is measured by this giant computer program where we have to submit a lot of data, which looks at how many infections happen, how many pressure ulcers, how many people are on antidepressants, and stuff like that.
Right.
And it also looks at staffing, and it takes into account registered nurse staffing, which is RN, LPN staffing, and nursing assistants. And we are rated because of our staffing. The government also now just created a new system to make sure that our staffing is reported accurately. So we have another big giant computer program that has to be submitted called
PBJ. Payroll-based journaling.
Okay.
So that makes it just makes sure you can't cheat. Not that we ever would, but
some have in the past.
Right. So all of these factors go into the rating, including your latest survey, if you had any citations.
Wow. So the matter of assessment is taken very, very seriously, and it allows a really first-rate facility like Brookside to then really shine. That's really nice to know. I'd love to know for just a minute or two here a little bit about the unit for memory care that you mentioned. So I'm assuming that we're talking about people that are contending with various kinds of memory loss and dementia, maybe even Alzheimer's. So which part of Brookside are we talking about that deals with this particular population?
It's still part of Brookside. There is a new neighborhood, another neighborhood down a little bit further, separate from the four that they were talking about, the long-term side. Smaller size neighborhood is a smaller community, separate dining. So instead of 30 people in a dining room, it's only 16 in a dining room. Like I said, the hallways are shorter. There's special features that promote just memory in that for the residents who are there, little memory boxes outside their doors they can decorate so they can kind of know which room is theirs. The dining room, the activity space is right out of the hallway so you can see it, so you know what you, if you're looking for something to do, you see the TV, you know that's where you want to go. You see the dining room, you know that's where you want to go. It's connected. There's a nice pathway, hallway that connects the two neighborhoods, so you can kind of just have this path that you can just walk around and explore and get as much sunlight in that. There's a courtyard inside that's secured and that they can go out and enjoy the weather and then the sunshine and that with family and friends. And then a special programming that the Life Enrichment Department at Brookside puts on there, a namaste room, a namaste room that is focused on those with late stages of Alzheimer's and that, which is a sensory room in a way where there's recliners and dim lighting and music going on. Just a lot of different little features that separate it a little bit from that long-term care side, but that just focuses on those special needs of residents who have the memory loss.
Wow. I'm very impressed to hear all that, and just to hear that special care is taken with those kind of details. And again, that feels like something, Francis, you can probably speak to this, but 40 or 50 years ago, it feels like those kind of distinctions were not made in what was offered to this population.
Well, thank you for recognizing my seniority. But, oh boy, can I tell the stories. We have this our long-term care system has transformed. And it takes leaders like Linda and Tara and our team to really make sure that that transformation is carried out in every single aspect of what we do. But back in the olden days, I get to tell those stories. Nursing homes were very institutionalized, and that's, I think some people still carry that thought, the long hallways, you know, the big nurse's station, everybody got up at this time, you had your breakfast at this time, you took your nap at this time is toileting, even
right.
though you might have had to go an hour ago or don't have to go right now.
Right.
You know, the thing we have to recognize is, with our aging population, and especially seeing our baby boomers are now entering their seventh decade, we are going to see a lot more people entering into long-term care services, wherever that might be. But that doesn't mean that, I mean, we still are going to have to provide congregate care in some way. Boy, oh boy, wouldn't it be nice if everybody could get care at home, because that's where people want to be. But with our workforce shortage and our crisis and the fact that we're not going to have very many caregivers for the amount of people who need it, we're always going to have to provide care in a congregate setting. Maybe it's not a nursing home. Maybe it's an apartment building. I mean, maybe that's something that we'll be looking at down the road, that you'll provide care in, you know, the apartment on the lake or whatever. But somehow, some way, we're always going to have to do that because we're not going to have the people to do it.
Right. And I think one thing that's important for us to lift up is this departure from that institutional model.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the idea that you can still provide, I think you were using the word congregate care, so where you have a lot of people together, but, I mean, offering them collective care, but it doesn't have to be institutionalized.
Mm-hmm.
It can still be remarkably individualized.
We've tried, I'm sorry, Greg, we've yeah. tried as a team of caregivers, we've tried to adapt a hospitality mindset. So when you come into your room, the light is on. There's water in the pitcher. There's a welcome, you know, sign. All the things you need to who you need to get a hold of are right there. Our housekeeping staff has been there to check to make sure that room is pristine. We have an anytime menu. If, you know, a lot of our admissions come from the hospital at 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. And didn't have time, you know, so much hubbub in the transfer. So we're able to get a hold of the kitchen and get a hamburger or whatever's needed.
Wow. I'm very impressed, that, and particularly with that sort of individualized care that is so important and means a lot if somebody, for whatever reason, just cannot be in their own home. Tara, we need to be sure to talk about Willowbrook, which is this facility for assisted living that is a relatively new feature. I think you were telling us that it just opened back in June.
Yeah, mid-June we opened our doors to our first resident, and we are moving people in as we speak.
Wow.
So we're slowly getting up there. You asked what the size of Brookside was, and Willowbrook is a smaller community, 24 rooms total, two neighborhoods of 12. But we... kind of going off of what Fran says, is you just want to create that home-like environment for them at Willowbrook as well. And that's our main goal in assisted living. In assisted living, your goal is for as much independence as possible in a home-like environment, just with that stability and security of knowing that the staff are available 24/7.
So when we're talking about assisted living, we're talking about people, in a sense, with lesser needs than the more general population at Brookside. So these are people who almost could be still at home. Typically, what is it that they need that would prompt them to want to live in assisted living versus in their own home?
Sure, and assisted living can be those who are very independent, who might just want the security, like I said, the security of the knowledge of maybe they've had a few falls at home and that, and they just want to know that there's someone around in case that happens.
So the
peace
of mind.
The peace of mind is there. But you can also have people who need higher needs as well in assisted living. The difference between assisted living and a skilled nursing facility like Brookside is the amount of nursing care. So in an assisted living, you can only have up to 3 hours of nursing care a week. In a skilled nursing facility, they provide nursing care 24/7.
Okay.
So that's the biggest difference. So you can have people in assisted living who need assistance with getting dressed in the morning, bathing, feeding, I mean, everything. There's still that need. You can come to assisted living. It's when you need that nurse to help you with certain things, that's when that you have to look into how much assistance they need to determine if assisted living is where they should be.
So the things you were just listing are things that that you wouldn't have a nurse do, or
exactly.
A nurse doesn't have to do those things.
Yeah, and in assisted living, they have CNAs at Brookside. In the nursing home, there's CNAs. In assisted living, we have resident assistants, and they are on-site 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're personal caregivers in a way where they're able to provide that assistance with everything. They do the personal care, but they also do the activities. They do the housekeeping. They do the cooking and cleaning. Like, they do everything. That's why they're resident assistants. They assist the resident however they can.
Wow. Okay. Francis, was this a big step for Brookside to open Willowbrook, and what prompted the move?
What prompted the move is looking to the future. And, you know, I had to ask myself, how can we sustain Brookside in the future? I mean, knowing the limitations of reimbursement and also knowing that the Kenosha community loves Brookside. They really, they embrace Brookside. We have a lot of volunteers. And, of course, it's obvious with our occupancy rate. But knowing that reimbursement continues to get worse, expenses, of course, continue to grow. Looking at another line of business that could help supplant what we may need if we fall short at Brookside. Mm. And that's why we decided on assisted living. Because that would be another option. It's a great referral source for our residents who are at Brookside and just cannot make it at home, and they know that. Or who need some respite care, which Tara needs to talk about our respite services, which is something new, and it's being very much
very popular, yeah, mm-hmm. appreciated option is respite services is short-term stays, a minimum of 7 days to a maximum of 28 days. People can choose to come to Willowbrook for short stay if they need time their caregiver at home maybe needs to go away or has other things they need to accomplish for themselves. They can send their person to Willowbrook and then be there. Or if they want to just kind of take the time to learn about assisted living without making that full-on jump, they can come and kind of put their toes in the water and see if that community is for them. Mm. So we do offer respite services on a daily rate. Like I said, minimum of 7 days up to 28 days they can come, and we would provide everything for them in that case.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you opened your doors in June, so I don't imagine all 24 of the rooms are occupied yet, but has there been a fairly significant amount of interest?
Yeah, there's been a very significant amount. We've been about one a week. We've been having people come in and move in, about one resident per week. But we do have openings, and that's why we just really want to get the word out there to the community that this is a great opportunity. We are unique in the way that we are the only Kenosha facility that offers assisted living and skilled nursing on one campus.
Right.
So if people who come to Brookside for short-term rehab might not be able to go home, they can come over to Willowbrook for assisted living, and then down the road, if they ever needed that additional services, Brookside's right there.
Right.
Smooth transition between the both communities.
I'm sure a lot of people would see that as a real positive, that it feels like you're not going to some mm-hmm. completely strange, unfamiliar place across mm-hmm. town or someplace in another community altogether. It's all one community in many respects. So, Francis, if people are interested in seeing some of this for themselves, how can people sort of get in the door to really experience all that Brookside has to offer?
Well, number one, we're having, for as far as Willowbrook goes, we're having an open house cookout on the patio, and that's on
Sunday the 26th at 4 o'clock. We have some entertainment coming to play some music for us for about an hour, and that we'll have some food for everyone and then invite everyone in for tours that they like. I'll be there to answer questions and that. So that's a great opportunity to come down and see Willowbrook.
And we welcome anybody who would like to come and see Willowbrook, take a ride over, walk in the door. I'm sitting right there. Tara's office is just down the way. You can give us a call at 262-653-3880.
Very good. And Linda, does Brookside have a website that's worth visiting?
We do. It's brooksidecarecenter.com. And they are also more than welcome to call. Diane Christofferson is our admissions director. But anybody is more than welcome to stop by and ask for a tour, and we would be more than happy to accommodate.
Well, you have a lot to be proud of, and I'm sure it gives you great pleasure to usher people down the hall and show them this beautiful facility that's really the best that one can experience in this modern age. And again, probably one of the biggest things we want to leave people with is for them to discard some outmoded ideas about what nursing home care is all about. It is a new age, a new era, and Brookside certainly exemplifies the very best of what is possible. Francis Petrick is the executive director, Linda Bagdala, administrator of Brookside, Tara Peskowitz, the manager of Willowbrook. I am so glad that you made time in your really busy schedules to be part of the morning show today, and we're happy to help get the word out about all that is going on at Brookside and Willowbrook. And thank you again for being part of the morning show.
Thank you
for having
thank
us.
You,
thank you.
I'm Gregory Berg. Tomorrow on the morning show, you will hear the interview that I am about to record with Dr. William Williams, who is a professor of economics at George Mason University and a well-known author and syndicated columnist. On Thursday, I'm replaying from the archives my morning show interview with Dr. Thomas Knorr from